Good morning. Welcome to worship on yet another beautiful day the Lord has given to us. So let us rejoice and
yes.
We're at the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. What is it that the Lord God has said that we would not be able to avoid while living here on earth? Trouble. These troubles are not meant to shake our faith, but rather to strengthen it. As we go through various troubles or storms in life, we are reminded to keep our eyes and our heart and our mind focused on Jesus. And that's why we're here again, right? To do just that, as Jesus provides the calm that we need amidst the storms. And another excellent reminder of this truth is found in these windows that were installed this week and we will dedicate during the service. To God be praise for the calm that He provides, for the opportunity to dedicate these stained glass windows, and also for the opportunity to put us in a position to lower our mortgage over the next 2 years. Let us give God the praise as we turn our attention to our first hymn, hymn 405. Please rise as we turn to page 3 of the worship bulletin. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. And the glory be to God response. We'll use the version as found on the insert. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, govern the nations on earth and direct the affairs of this world, so that your church may worship you in peace and joy. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Does anyone have a white Lexus? It's still running in the parking lot. It's one way to keep it cool. The word of our Lord, which draws our attention on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost, first of all, comes to us from the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, pointing out the fact that during times of trouble especially, who is it that can provide the answers and the hope that we need? Well, the Lord God. And how does he do that? We hear these words. Who has gone up to heaven and come down? Whose hands have gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped up the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son? Surely you know. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. The word of the Lord. Let us in response sing our psalm for today, Psalm 46.
Thank you.
The Lord God allows the not-so-good aspects of life, but again, never without purpose, as he always is working out things for the good of people, especially his own. A reminder of this truth from Acts 27. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" The word of the Lord. Let us read together the verse of the day.
Hallelujah. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Hallelujah.
Please rise for the gospel lesson. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Did that really just happen? Never doubt the power that the Lord Jesus has over all things. And so take courage. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
We confess our faith in the living God using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. I'll ask at this time if there are children who want to come forward for a devotion. It's nice that you balanced it out. Because if we were in a boat, that's what we want, right? We'd want to have balance. Because what would happen if everybody was on one side of a boat? Yeah. You know, if a boat were to tip over, what would be a good thing to have on you? So,
a life jacket, right? Do you have any? Do you have one like this? Anyone like this?
We have a boat and we have a life jacket.
You have life jackets? You ever seen a fish wear a life jacket?
No.
This fish is wearing a life jacket.
Well, we have an orange one for swimming and then one for in the boats.
Why do you wear a life jacket?
So when you don't drown.
Yeah, right? Life jackets. Yeah, take you under, right? So you can swim with confidence, right? Life jackets can give you confidence, but we still have to be careful, right?
I used to have puppy stuff and a life jacket on, so I could float.
Yeah, I still have those puppy things that I try to stay afloat with. Nah, I'm just kidding. All right, what are you going to say?
My is really, it's purple and it has lots of designs on it.
So you're styling when you're staying above the water, too. That's nice, right? Life jackets are important, whether they be like the orange one or one like a vest that you just put on. You know, I want to talk about life jackets because they tie in with our readings today. The disciples of Jesus and the Apostle Paul, they were caught on a storm on the lake. And they weren't having fun on that lake during the storm, right? Because the boat was going back and forth. We're told the boat almost sank. And so what would have been good for them to wear if the boat was about to sink?
A life jacket.
So life jackets are a good reminder of something even more important to put on. And Jesus has given us that too. These windows that you see here, they remind us of what we need to put on each and every day. And that's why we're here today, to keep on putting on what Jesus has given to us. He's given us not a life jacket like this, but what has he given to us? Faith. Faith in the fact that he died for our sins and he rose again. There is no better life jacket that we can have than faith in Jesus. Because we're going to go through some tough times. Just like when you're in the lake, you never know if it's going to get rocky and you might need that life jacket. So as we go through life, there are hard times that we go through, right?
So once we were on the lake, and there was this island by us, and so I wanted to swim with it, and then my brother was too scared, because he said maybe there was a crocodile in the rocks.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, just hold on to my life jacket.
There you go. See, right? The importance of life jacket. And so when a friend is going through a hard time in life, who can you tell them to hold on to? Who died for your sins and their sins?
Jesus,
right? You can tell them to hold on to Jesus.
Sin is like a big lake in the snowball, and God is
the life jacket. I like it, right? Yeah, we're drowning in sin, but Jesus died for our sins to lift us up from drowning. And so again, next time you wear a life jacket, remember what Jesus has done for you. He's given you a life jacket, not just for this life, but for all eternity. Let's give thanks to Jesus right now for that. Jesus, we thank you for giving us life jackets when we're out on the water to help keep us safe and afloat. But more importantly, we thank you for the life jacket you've given to us through the gift of faith, the forgiveness of sins, and the doorway to heaven. As we go through difficult times in life, for our friends do, help us direct them to Jesus, the life jacket of all time. We give thanks to you, Jesus, for being our life jacket. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Keep safe on the water.
We'll continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance from our God, our Father, through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I direct your attention back to the service bulletin on page 8. If you're there, you can read with me verse 40 of our gospel reading. Verse 40, we read together. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ, upheld in life by his grace and mercy, when was that moment in your life? You had never been so afraid. Perhaps you even thought that it was going to be it for you. Death had come calling. If you've not yet had that moment in life, give thanks and remain prepared for it for when it does come. For those of us who have gone through that moment, was it while you were working around the house or at the job? While driving around in your vehicle or on a boat, while climbing a cliff or playing a sport, shortness of breath is not a picnic, is it? Having to go from 70 miles an hour to zero in seconds, this can be another life flashes before your eyes moment, right? Those traveling with the Apostle Paul to Rome, as noted in our second lesson for today, were having such a moment. And so were the disciples in our gospel lesson for today. Who, though, was not anxious during those moments? The Apostle Paul and Jesus, for sure not. This reminds us of those words recorded for us in Hebrews 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus knows what moments in life cause us to be anxious. In fact, he himself faced situations which no ordinary human being would be able to stand up underneath. The first window on Genesis in that northeast corner speaks to why such moments are among us in the first place and why Jesus had to come. It was not for himself, but rather for you and for me. As Jesus endured, so we through him can endure what can be called the storms of life. Times when life seems to be knocking us off of our feet, knocking us off of the path to heaven, as our eyes of faith are tempted to shift off of Jesus, who provides the calm in our life, to rather a whole bunch of what ifs. What ifs do not help, do they? What does help are the facts. And the Bible gives us plenty of facts to rest our hope upon. As Jesus was able to uphold Paul during a life-threatening situation, as Jesus was able to give relief to the disciples during a storm that was not quite like others encountered, so he is able to help us through the storms of life that we encounter. He can do this, for after all, he is the creator of all things. And as he helps us through these storms of life, he does so with purpose, and that purpose is to help grow up our faith in him. The evangelist Mark wants to make sure that the readers of this gospel by his name come away with this truth. And that is that Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man who came to be the Savior of all people. Jesus is such, as proven by his teachings. They were fresh and new, as they did not add burdens to the already burdened lives of people. He also proved to be such, the one who came to save people from their sins by the miracles he did, as promised would happen when the Messiah came in flesh. People were fascinated by these miracles, and rightly so. But they were not to be the primary focus, were they? It was the reason why Jesus came and what he was about to do while here on this earth that was to be the focus. And thus the majority of our windows speak to the identity and purpose of Jesus coming in flesh. Jesus had put in another long day of preaching and doing miracles, listening to people vying for his attention, crowding close to him. Now, he was not looking for sympathy when we hear this account, but rather he was looking for some time to recharge. He had taken on human flesh and thus human characteristics. He was also looking for time to teach his disciples. They were not quite ready to be on their own. That time would come, as those last couple windows on that northwest corner speak to. The disciples were anxious, rightly so. Leading up to that anxious moment, since Jesus was using a boat to speak to the crowd, it was simple then for him to ask the disciples to shove off so that they could go to the other side of the lake. That other side was Gentile area, and Jesus knew what was waiting for him on that other side. But before they get to that other side, a storm on the lake rose up. And this was no small lake, and the way it was situated made it favorable for storms to just pop up. Violent storms. But this particular storm had extra energy. We are told that the water was coming into the boat, and so the boat was giving the appearance that it was going to sink. And so, as noted, the disciples were anxious, and what did not help them, so they thought, what was Jesus doing during this time? He was sleeping, not because he had Dramamine in his system, but rather he had complete trust in his heavenly Father, and he knew that it was not by drowning that his life was going to be taken. Did the disciples fail to remember who it was that was with them in the boat and all the miracles that he had done up to this point in time? They wake up Jesus in a panic and a little perturbed at him. How could he be asleep while they think they are drowning? Again, to emphasize the magnitude of the situation, keep in mind that some of these disciples were experienced fishermen who, while having respect for God's creation, would not usually get all flustered over a storm on the lake. Have we asked God a similar question or even the same question that the disciples asked Jesus? Lord, don't you care? Well, what answer do we expect to hear from him? Of course he cares. He did not bring us to life just to slap us down. God is not into tempting us, pushing our limits just for fun. He is about testing our faith, helping us grow our faith in him. And so he helped the disciples grow in their faith, their trust in him. When he got up and told the wind and the waves to be quiet, be still. Right away, the lake went from chaos to calm. How did that happen so quickly? Jesus did not ask anyone for assistance. For example, he did not ask his heavenly Father to help him with that. He simply said, be quiet, be still. And it was so. This is because Jesus is the Son of God. He is not just the Son of Man, taking on human flesh to dwell among us. He is that Son of God, always existing as God, one of the three persons of the Trinity. And so as God, he is all-powerful. As God, he was there when the earth's foundations were laid. As God, he has control over all things, proven once again this time. Not by a healing of physical body or by raising someone from the dead, but by even showing control over non-human creation, which also was impacted when sin entered into the world. And so window one, again, has much to tell, making the rest of the windows just as important to share. Having calmed the storm, putting the disciples' minds and hearts at ease, Jesus further gets into that purpose for why he came into this world, one of those purposes, and that was to strengthen people in their relationship with him. And so we ask the disciples, why were you afraid? Was faith lacking? It was not. But yet there was continually room for growth in their faith, in their relationship with him. Referring back to the Apostle Paul during the storm that he went through on the seas, it was not that he himself was so strong that he could remain calm while others fretted about. It was that the object of his faith had become so much the center of his life, as earlier storms in life shaped him and prepared him for what was to come. And that is what Jesus was doing for his disciples back then, and that is what he is constantly doing for you and me today, shaping us for what is yet to come in our life, honing in our focus so that our eyes become so fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that life's storms cannot overpower us, bruise us up a bit, but not sink us. Time and time again, you and I have a similar reaction as the disciples in our text did, don't we? Concerning the identity of Jesus. We know he is God. We know that he is the Savior. We know that he is all-powerful. We know this and more, and yet from time to time on this side of heaven, we still need life lessons to remind us about the identity and the purpose of Jesus, to help us grow in our faith. We know Jesus. And at the same time, we really don't know him. We don't know all that he is about. We don't know all that he is capable of all things. Or else we would not limit him at times of what he is able to do in our life. We would not then go through doom and gloom moments in our life when our health fails or our we get laid off from our job, or when the church changes a human tradition. We know who has us in the palm of our hands. It is not what we do or how we say something that matters. Superstition runs deep within all of us. And so we need that second commandment reminder. It is all about Jesus and what he has already done for us and what he is more than capable of doing for us until the end of time. As noted last week, who knows how many souls the gospel can turn to Jesus? Why do we limit the power of the gospel? So today, why do we limit the calm that Jesus is able to provide in our lives and in the lives of people we know when our life takes a detour from the roadmap that we had mapped out for our life? Who knows how much ministry can be done through us here at St. Mark? Why then do we spend energy talking down this ministry rather than celebrating this ministry and giving our attention to it? After all, it's not about building up St. Mark's, is it? It's about building up the kingdom of God. And when that happens, we, the family at St. Mark's, benefit. And just like the disciples, when early on in their time with Jesus, needed that constant rebuke and encouragement, so we, the people of God today, still need that constant rebuke and encouragement. God did not say ministry and life would be easy, did he? In fact, he has recorded the fact that we must go through many trials and tribulations before we enter heaven. At the same time, he has promised to not leave us to ourselves when troubles come. For those of us who have seen that Footprints in the Sand poem, the picture and or the wording of it, recall whose footprints are seen there when troubles come. We like to think those are our footprints. Yet God reminds us of what? That those are his footprints when he is carrying us. Now, it is not that you and I will not go through anxious times while here on this earth. It is when those times come, what we do, that matters. Remember, Jesus is the one who calms our storms. He is more than capable, as he is the creator of all things. And he does not send those storms without purpose. He uses those storms in our life to help us grow in our faith and our relationship with him. And so, dear family, stay calm. Your sins are forgiven through the death of Jesus. Stay calm. Heaven has been opened up to you, guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus. Stay calm when facing the storms we encounter in this life, trusting that God's got this. Our life. For as the psalmist of Psalm 46 said, God is our refuge from the storms and the strength to endure. Knowing this and believing this leads us, the family of God, to say that word, which means we can stand up, and that word is
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The calm in the storm. Amen.
Do not pass.
We pray, Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones, that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But, O best of all your graces, with your love our love renew. Physician of both the body and the soul, we ask that you bring healing to Mark Lazaga as he is currently suffering from pneumonia and heart complications. We ask that you bring comfort to Shannon Burke and family as they are dealing with his mom being taken off life support, which she was on following a stroke, and now is at rest with you. And we give you thanks for the surgery Paul Peterson was able to have in an attempt to relieve major back pain. Such instances these loved ones are facing are harsh and yet important reminders of why we needed Jesus to take on flesh and go to the cross. Because of his cross, we are certain that physical afflictions will not separate us from your love and the promise of heaven. Lord, since you are the giver of all life, the physical and the spiritual, and you are the one who puts countless blessings into our life, continue to open the eyes of those among us who are privileged to celebrate another birthday. We thank you for putting them among us here at St. Mark's, and as they are a blessing to us, may we be a blessing to them and together give you the glory. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we get into the dedication portion of our service today, as we hear the words and speak the words and sing the hymns, may we glance at these windows then and put the words of the in print and song together. We dedicate these stained glass windows in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty.
My soul yearns to be made haste for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you.
Better is my day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell.
O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
We praise you, Father.
From Genesis 3, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
From Genesis 3, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
From Romans 10, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ."
Thank you.
From Ephesians 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do."
From Hebrews 10, "Let us
From 1 Peter 1, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." Pray. Lord, we thank you for the precious gift of your word. Continue to speak to us through your word. Your word is truth. May these stained glass windows being dedicated today help us speak your word of truth to all who will see them. We not only thank you for these windows, we also thank you for worship art and architecture, for language and poetry, for those who prepare your house each week for worship, for talents with banners, flowers, and with all the arts. For those who labored faithfully and gave freely of their time, talents, and treasures, send your Holy Spirit so that everything we see, hear, and do in this place spiritually enriches us and is an offering to you. And now hear us, Lord, as we also pray the prayer our Savior has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
wet your whistle. There is water and coffee available there in the lobby. A beautiful day the Lord has given to us for multiple reasons. May you be able to enjoy this day and give praise to Him. If you are returning the worship bulletin, please make sure you put that insert, Glory to God, in the right place for the next service. We'd appreciate that. You're also welcome to take these home and share them with a family or friend as well. During our Bible hour today, we'll be going a little deeper into the meaning of each of these windows, and so everyone is welcome to stay for that presentation. You'll get one of these booklets. They're available there in the entryway, so pick up one of these booklets, and we'll go through that. In fact, to help us lead us through this booklet, we have the Popes. Pastor Nathan Pope and his wife Patty are here. They came and installed these windows during the week together with the Williamsons. We thank you for their help. And they're also then leading the presentation. So if Nathan and Patty, if they would just come forward. Pastor Pope served here in the late 70s for 3 years. So it's kind of neat to see the circle of ministry in a sense. So thank you for your work. They have a long drive ahead of them, but they'll enjoy it along the way, we pray. All right, just a couple of other announcements before we get into the presentation. Thank you for your participation in the Not Without Purpose debt reduction effort. We ask that commitments be returned by this Sunday. If you're not able to do that, that's okay. You can bring it back anytime. But remember, this is a two-year effort, and we give thanks to God for what He's enabled us to do so far and look forward to more of His blessings to be counted. Usher meeting, if you're one of the ushers, please note that after the late service today, there's going to be an usher meeting. Teen Open Gym tomorrow night here at St. Mark's, starting at 6:30. Basketball, volleyball, we'll see how it goes, and then pizza at the end and then some discussion. So Teen Open Gym tomorrow here at St. Mark's. For more timely information, see the bulletin or weekly news. Have a great day in the Lord. Make sure you greet one another in His name. Would you like to say any parting words before the presentation? Put you on the spot.
I'm thinking real hard.
And he is a deep thinker, so we appreciate that. So we'll enjoy definitely hearing the story behind each of these windows. So thank you. Blessings on your day. Ushers, you can come forward as there's no school video today. Thank you.